I look back on the years, memories of happiness and bitter tears. Through it all, there was a common thread that cannot be ignored. You were there teaching me to be your servant, Lord. All along, your hand has been guiding me, shaping my life to be a beautiful song. Every joy and pain had a reason of its own. Now I realize that I was not alone. The changing seasons of my life were not left up to chance. Lord, I know you were working to fulfill your plan.
All right, thank you. Did we have handouts? Did we pass out the handouts? There are no handouts back there? Okay. We didn't pay the paper bill this month, I guess. All right, let's all stand together. Take your Bibles. We did pay it, by the way. Take your Bibles. We'll turn to a couple passages. Let's stand for a second. You'll be sitting for a few minutes. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read a couple verses there, and then we'll let you be seated. We'll look at the other verses later. Joshua chapter 1. We're still talking about the Bible. We're going to talk about the Bible and success. The Bible and success. Let me say this as we get into this. We're not talking about it tonight, but I hope earnestly that you are praying about May 18th. It'll be upon us before you know it. And so what we want to do is just be praying about what God would want you to do. We're getting very, very, very close. I know we're saying that, but pray for us. The first time we've ever built a building, okay? But going in there now, I don't know what close is, but this has to be close, okay? Drywall's going up, so once you get all the drywall, it's going, all right? We're about 70, 75% done and finished work. We'll get in there and knock it off. People come and work. But I will say this, there's a couple things that are going to determine when we finish the building. Number one is going to be, of course, the workforce, and I think we have that. Number two is going to be finances. And so if we have a good May 18th and the monthly and weekly commitments, we'll have the money to get it done, and we're going to get it done this year. OK, Okay? But we just want you to pray about it. I think if you're earnest and you pray about it, and we say, oh, you're just saying that. You really want us to open your checkbook, our checkbooks. Well, yeah, I do. But prayer is a big part of it. If you are earnest and you pray about it, God will provide. God will allow you to be involved more than you thought you could be involved. And so it's nice to see God do something in your life and in the life of our church. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting. But just, I hope that you're making that a daily part of what's going on in your life. Prayer for the building. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now we understand that Moses has just died, and so they're getting the promised land here. There's going to be some battles going on, and God comes to Joshua and he's kind of giving them some final commands here to prepare them for what's coming. And it's very interesting. He talks about the Bible. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for these few months when we are looking at your word and just looking at just encouragement to make the Bible a very important part of our life, to really make it our life when it comes to our Christian faith. And Father, we pray tonight as we look at this subject that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry you don't have handouts tonight. There was some confusion. The Bible and success. Now, our society is infatuated with success, okay? If you go to Amazon Books and you type in the word success, you do a search for success, you'll get over 100,000 hits, okay? People are interested by success. But our society's definition of success is flawed. That's why when you talk about something like, well, the Bible talks about success. It's like, well, what? Because what the world says is success and what God says is success are two different things. Okay? When the world thinks of success, it thinks about having some type of prestigious job. Maybe having a job where you're your own boss. You know, success is tied into how much money I make. You know, am I going to be able to retire early? By the way, most people die within a couple years after they retire. You might want to work a little bit longer. Most people, you know, it's success is based on our possessions. How many things do we have? What kind of things do we have? What was it in the 80s? They had the little phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. Wins what? By the way, they could put you in the fanciest casket you've ever seen, but you're still dead. You're not enjoying it very much. Fact of the matter is, if you want to enjoy your casket, you might want to get it and sleep in it while you're alive, okay? Because you ain't going to enjoy it when you're dead. Success is what people think about you. Achieving results. If we're Christians, we must fully understand the importance of the Bible when we think about the concept of success. Like most things in life, what society says about something and what God says about something are different. That's why our society tries to redefine it. Okay? What have we done recently? We're trying to redefine the family. Okay? And so we just, well, yeah, they use the same words, but they have different meanings to it. A family can be, you know, a husband and wife, a wife and a wife, a husband and a husband. Go to Utah, it's a husband, wife, husband, whatever. You gotta into the mix whatever you want. It's sad, though, too. Our churches are kind of doing the same things, trying to redefine Christianity. I think Christianity is okay. I think what's been going on is good. We don't need to change it. So like anything, it's always best for us to stay with the Bible. We must understand that God does want you to be successful. Now, we have a hard time making a statement like that, don't we? You know why when we think, well, the Bible wants us to be successful? Yeah, but you're thinking about the wrong thing when you think about success. And by the way, we don't believe in the prosperity doctrine. Now, if we could believe in one doctrine for just a couple years, that's the one I would want. That building would have been built a long time ago, and we wouldn't have had to lift a finger. Okay? But that's not what the Bible says. We must understand that God wants us. Success, as God defines this, is related to your relationship and dedication to His Word. Okay? Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. These are very familiar verses. But just because something is familiar doesn't mean it's not important. Okay? And we need to understand it. Psalm chapter 1. We'll read the first three verses. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It's kind of like towards the middle of the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. What are the results? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now we read that, and we'll explain it here as we go through. We read that and say, wow, what a promise. Is that open-ended? Look, God is not a spiritual Santa Claus. We don't write out our spiritual Christmas wish list and send it to him, and he's duty-bound to give us what we want. Okay? But God does say we can be successful, and we'll look at that in a minute, in whatsoever area. How does that happen? Well, I don't want you to be confused. For some of you, that's not a really long, hard step to get to, okay? For some of us, I would say. So let me give you some principles here tonight. I even had all the blanks highlighted so that I didn't forget to give them to you. But now you just have to write it down. I'm sorry. Number one, God wants you to prosper and be successful in every God-given area of your life. Oh, there's a catch to everything. Yeah, there is. God does want you to be prosperous. God does want you to be successful. But in those areas that God has ordained for you, those God-given areas of life. That's why he says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. There is nothing spiritual about being unsuccessful in these God-given areas. These areas that we're talking about are the areas that are set forth by God's word. And if those are areas and responsibilities that God has for us, he wants us to be successful in those areas. Why? You know what? I'll never understand why most Christians settle for less than God's best for their life. I'll never understand that. If someone comes to you and says, you can have a $1,000 bill or you can have a $5 bill, there's nothing spiritual about saying, I'll take the five. It's a math issue. 1,000 is more than five. I'll take the 1,000. You ever go to kids, they'll have a dollar and you say, you have like two pennies. I'll say, I'll give you these two for that one. A little kid's like, oh yeah, they don't know any better. But most Christians live subpar. In other words, they're living their life spiritually below where God really wants them to be. I don't understand that. We had a girl in our youth group many years ago, and she was a good kid. We found out she was sneaking around with some guy, and I called her in. I was talking to her, and this guy was not a good guy. He was not. He had some major issues that I knew about. And I pulled her in. I started talking to her, and I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to say it's bad. You could do better than that. But I kind of like, what's going on here? And this girl told me. And she says, you know what? With some of the problems I had, that's just, she knew it. I know he is. She goes, but that's just what I deserve. I'm like, no, you don't. Most Christians don't say that, but the way we live says, well, I'll just take this down here. In all those roles of life that God has for us. And so let's not be like that. We're not talking about prosperity doctrine. If you think of men in the Bible who would have been considered unsuccessful in society's eyes. For a while there, you would have thought about Job. One of those riches to rags stories. You think about the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a big shot in his religion, and then he gets saved, and he's running for his life, and he's being beaten, and he's going through trials, and you think, he's not very successful. You think about some of the prophets and all that they went through. Think about Hosea, who married a lady who kept cheating on him and having children in adultery. Think about Jesus. You know, where did his life end? Right where God wanted it to end. You see, let's not define things the way the world defines things. Let's look at what God has for us. God wants us to prosper and be successful in every God-given area of your life. Number two, but we must define prosperity and success God's way. Okay? That's our issue. We think of success, we think of the nice cars, we think of the big bank accounts, we think of the, you know, whatever. No, no, no. How are you in those areas God wants you to be right? Worldly success is related to finances, fame, and toys. Basically, it's about you. It's about ourselves. You getting what you want and what you think will bring you happiness. We shoot for all the wrong things. We think, well, if I just had more money, if I just had that place, if I just had this thing, if I just had that thing, I would be happy. Well, first of all, things don't make you happy. Money doesn't make you happy. Now, yes, it's good to pay the bills. Yes, it's good to give on May 18th. Okay? But we're trying to get something from money and possessions that God never designed for us to get from it. Security, joy, happiness, that's all a result of our relationship with God. And so if we're going to define success, we need to define it God's way. Because if you believe the lie that these things are successful, then the way you operate or live your life will be based on that type of principle. If success is accumulating all you can, then do anything you can to get all you can. The ends justifies the means. And that's where we're at. God's success is defined by God and is related to his plan and his purpose. And by the way, that's why so many young people and parents and our young people, they're afraid to surrender to God because they think God is going to send them somewhere they don't want to go. They think God is going to make them do something they want to do. Or as parents, you know, I always want my, you know, parents, you're great, you know, every one of our kids is going to be a lawyer and a doctor and a scientist. Can I just tell you something? No, they're not. Okay? Can we just, I want him to be a lawyer. Kid can't spell his name. Okay? And by the way, I was thinking about you, Raul, but hey, thanks for sharing. If God wants you to be those things, go for it. But what does God want me to do? Where does God want me to be? Okay? God's not going to say, you know what? Let me give them the worst thing that they would want. I'm going to make them a missionary to Antarctica. Brother. You know, God is your father. How many of you as a father would treat your children like that? And our Heavenly Father is? You know, God knows that very thing. By the way, whether it's serving God full time or whether it's just having a family and raising godly children in the church, God knows what's perfect for you. But we don't trust him. We think we have to have our own definition. You know, most of us, our life is like this. Our life before God is like a big mansion. And you go into that mansion and there's all kinds of rooms. And every room represents an area of our life. You know, I have a door here, and this door represents our financial life. Maybe this door represents who I'll marry, what my job will be, what I'm going to do with my life, what entertainment am I going to be involved with. And on some of those areas, we'll say, oh, Lord, yeah, you can open this door. That's fine. You can help me in here. But you come over to this area and say, no, 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 Lord, that door's closed. That's my area. Why? Because we want to do our own thing. We don't want God to decide what we do in those areas. We have to define it God's way. Number three, and this is important. Success is based on what we are on the inside. Now, he's talking to Joshua about the Word of God, and before he gives him the principles he's supposed to follow with the Bible, he says, he tells him to be strong. Now, when he gets to the Scripture, he's going to tell him how he can be strong. Strength is an inward thing. Strength is not an outward thing. Who was the strongest man in the Bible? Samson. Who was one of the weakest men in the Bible? Samson. He had lady issues. He picked women that God did not want him to pick. He could not control himself. Now, if he was here, face to face with me, I wouldn't tell him that. He was a tough hombre. You read the book of Judges, God raised up a judge. They would get the people and lead them into battle and they'd win. Samson didn't have time for that. Samson was his own army. If he wanted to win a battle, he went out by himself and it was over. Okay? You watch these, you know, kung fu love movies. Listen, those aren't true, but if it was, it's Samson. Okay? Guy was strong physically on the outside, but there was a morality weakness on the inside. So really, he wasn't that strong after all. Real strength is who you are on the inside. It's a character thing. Remember that list we mentioned a few minutes ago about what our society considers to be successful? Those are all outward things. By the way, you can manipulate outward things for a while. You really can. Who was that? Madoff? The guy that had the Ponzi scheme going 20 years. Okay, and finally finally it came to roost. Okay, it came to. It wasn't going to last forever. So you can put on that show, but what you really are is what is on the inside. And if it's just the outward trappings, those things can be obtained through less than virtuous living or less than virtuous, you know, principles. You may get it, but you're not successful in God's eyes. We have a hero-driven society. And it's got to the point that how a hero lives isn't as important as long as he produces results. Now, if you like sports, can I just tell you something? Most of those guys, if it wasn't for their God-given athletic ability, would be asking you if you want fries with that. Not all of them. But I'm talking about character-wise. These kids have been coddled. Oh, he's an athlete. And the parents say, he's going to be rich. They let him do whatever they want. And they get all that money. And they're still a bunch of dumb knuckleheads. That's all they are. Why? That's a character issue. And so just because he plays for our team and he does something stupid, that doesn't matter. He's still a good player. It does matter. Okay? And we are so dumb. It's like, oh, yeah, that's not it. It used to be, if you did something stupid outside of your field of whatever you did, that was bad. But now it's like, we don't care what you do over there. It's here, you know, years ago, there was a player called Lawrence Phillips. He was a running back for Nebraska. He had some serious issues with the police. One of the last things he did, he scaled a three-story apartment building and beat his girlfriend up. Nice guy, real good guy. He'd been in jail several times. They were going to kick him off the football team. They let him play in the BCS championship game. His team won. He had a really good game. Here's what was irritating. One of the headlines was, he silences his critics. Now, wait a minute. So just because he runs a lot of yards on a football field, it's supposed to shut up that people that say he shouldn't climb three stories and beat his girlfriend up? Is that really where our society is? Yes. Because it doesn't matter what you are, it only matters what you produce. God's more concerned with the man. God's more concerned with what you are on the inside, not some stupid thing you do on the outside. We measure success by a man's outward results. God measures a man. Look at 1 Samuel 16:5. We know this verse. I think it's 1 Samuel maybe 6. This is when God was looking for a king. Samuel came to David's dad, Jesse, and said, "Hey, get your boys together. We're going to find a king here, or we're looking here." And so he gets all his boys together. Samuel's here. Not David. He's a young one. He didn't even need to be here. So first guy steps up, Eliab. He looked good. And Samuel's thinking, this is the guy right here. This guy looks sharp. He's the guy. God didn't think so. Verse 6, I think it is. And it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." This is him. Verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." He must have been tall, dark, and handsome. "Because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Says, hey, bypass what he looks like. I see his heart. He ain't got it. Now, the more liberal faction will say, see, it doesn't matter what you are on the outside, long as you have a good heart. Oh, so you have a good heart, but everything on the outside says otherwise. It's not saying that you can look good, you can look horrible and act horrible on the outside, but the inside's good. What it's saying is you can fool people on the outside, even if the inside is bad. That's what he's saying. And that's where we're at. Results are everything. But Joshua tells us the important part is internal. He tells us to meditate. Make the Word of God a part of who we are internally. Because if we get to know the Bible and we really have a desire to live the Bible, God will make us successful in the areas he wants us to be. We can't obey something we do not know. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, I was in a bus division. I was dropping off a guy from another bus route. He was a captain. He had a little. It was a two block section in Chicago. It was kind of cut off. The L train was on one side of it. There was a graveyard on the other side and some businesses. This little two block area had nothing but apartments, and that was his bus route. It was called the nickname of that street was Murder Alley. They said that Al Capone lived there in the 20s and the 30s. He had a place there. And it was a bad area. It was a really rough block. So I dropped him off. He got out of the car. He goes, hey. He pointed out. He goes, see that guy over there? He goes, that guy has the book of Proverbs memorized. The whole book. He said, he went to Moody Bible Institute. And years ago. And he goes, now he's a drunkard. And I'm like, there's no way. And I could see the guy staggering. He looked horrible. Looked like he lived on the street. So I'm like, uh-uh. So I went over to him, said, how you doing? Introduced myself. I said, do you have the book of Proverbs? He goes, yeah. I'm like, prove it to me. And he just picked it up right in the middle of the book, and he just rattled it off. He just kept going. I'm like, you know, it might have done him some good if he actually listened to what he was quoting. Okay? You have to have it, but you got to think about it. Got to become a part of who you are, not just some words you throw out there. What we are on the inside. Next, success comes from following God's principles. That thou, Joshua 1:7 says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That was that guy's problem. He might want to meditate on that verse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He might want to think about that one. He just knew some words. It's following God's principles. How do we have that character on the inside to be what God wants us to be so we can be successful? It comes from following God's principles. We learn them so we can do them. That's the principle. He told it to Joshua. Character comes from obedience to a higher truth, the Bible. And we place that over what I think is best. In Proverbs, there's two verses that almost are point blank the same. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What man thinks is right, if it doesn't line up with what God says is right, isn't right. And it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. I read a book, and there was a guy who was talking about, he went to college probably about 30 years ago, and he said he had to write a paper on success. So he was going to write a paper on success. So what he did is he compared what society says about success today to what society said about success 100 years ago. So this guy got these books from people that talked about being successful 100 years ago. He read it. And he read the ones from today. He said, the difference is very clear and very easy to see. The books of today deal with success based on what you accomplish. Whereas the books of 100 years ago dealt with success, what kind of person are you? Because if you're the right kind of person, you'll accomplish the right kind of things. See, we've developed a whole society of people that they're just irresponsible. Can't get a job. Don't want a job. Don't want to grow up. I'll deal with that when I get 40. It's ridiculous. The average youngster graduating from high school doesn't know anything. No responsibility whatsoever. Why? Everything's been outward, superficial. There's nothing on the inside. And that comes from following God's principles. Number five. Those who do prosper are long-term followers. Joshua 1:7 says again, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What you know he's saying? Stay on the path. Yep. Don't get off. Yep. Don't to the right. Don't to the left. Do what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing it. Okay? You want to be a successful Christian? If you're a young person, come see me in 10 or 15 years. Okay? Oh, you know, I love God. That's great. I'm glad you love God. But if you really love God and you're really going to be what you to do, you'll be doing it 20 years from now. Yes, we don't measure Christianity in years. We measure it in decades. Okay? It's not some, you know, when I was a teenager, that was good for me. But now that I'm in the real world, no. It's who you should be. Yes, sir. If you're a Christian, you ought to love God. Yeah. If you love God, you ought to love his word. If that's who you are, you ought to be like that all the time. Take a long-term approach to it. Most people, but again, it's our narcissistic society, our narcissistic Christianity. What is best for me now? And if I feel like things aren't going my way, I'm going to go do something else. That doesn't work. It's a picture of fruit. When you have fruit, it takes a while for that fruit to develop. Christians, if we're living for God, the Spirit of God will develop fruit in our life. That takes time. But we don't like that. Long term. Number six, we must hasten. Long term obedience to the Bible comes from an all-consuming relationship to it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's not just reading our Bibles. It's delighting in it. It's not just some, and I have it. I have the church Bible reading schedule, and I fill it out, and I've added a couple things to it. I go three different ways with it, and I'm like, check it off. I got it done today. Anybody like that? You like checking things? I got it done. Let's just check that off. It's not just a checklist, though. Okay, if it's a checklist, we might as well learn how to speed read. You know, we used to speed read in Bible college, the books. You just keep your finger going. Someone talks to you. Hey, how's it going? Just keep that finger going, man. That finger has read so many books. Never learned a thing, though. Okay? No. It's a delight. You know, you ask somebody, hey, what are the boring parts of the Bible? People start to, oh, that's boring. Wait a minute, delight. There's good stuff everywhere in there. Okay? But what's your attitude towards it? Got to do it again. Let me hustle through this thing. No, it's delightful. That's why our society attacks the Bible. Why? They want to be seen as grievous, as old-fashioned, out of touch with reality. They're out of touch with reality. I'd rather be in touch with God's reality. By the way, if that's true, why is everybody talk about how bad things are? You know, everything's bad. Oh, you know, it's just hard time. Well, I know. You know why? Because you're trying to live apart from God. You booted God out of our society. You booted him out of our schools, first of all. Now you're trying to boot him out of our society. Okay? And you wonder why things aren't getting better. 2 + 2, you think they'd be able to see it. Schools didn't used to resemble prisons. Just where we're at. Number 7. Don't listen to anybody or anyone who would tear down the Bible. Don't listen to them. Blessed, Psalm 1:1, is the man. Now he says, blessed, happy. So I want to be blessed. God's going to tell you how you can be blessed. Here's his list, 3. God's blessed list. That walketh not. Now that's negative. By the way, all 3 of these are negative. You say, well, wait a minute. He's talking about being blessed. How come he's talking about negative? Because negatives lead to a positive. If you want something good, you have to stay away from those things that would keep you from having the things that are good. And if something is bad, it's not good, and it's keeping you from that which is good. Oh, bro, I just deal in, you know, let's be encouraging. Okay, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, that's what he tells us to do. What is walking in the counsel of the ungodly? The word ungodly would mean those who willfully do wrong. Counsel is advice or influence, and walketh has the picture of how we choose to live our life. So what's he saying? Don't choose to live your life based on the advice or influence of those who willfully live a life of wrongdoing. I'm not going to listen to them. It's amazing who we allow to influence us. Well, he's got a PhD. Whatever. He can have an NAACP. I don't care. He can have an MBA. Does he love God? We think it's cool to listen to you kids and sneak around listening. And their lifestyle is garbage. And they're going to tell you how to live? Be very careful about that. We standeth in the way of sinners. A sinner is someone who just basically does wrong and it doesn't bother them. Standing is where you place yourself. Way is the path or locale where they're at. This deals with whom we choose to be around. Don't be around people that think it's okay just to do wrong. That's just the pattern of their life. I'm not saying be mean to them. Well, you know, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Can I just tell you something? He didn't hang out with them. When he hung out with them, they typically got witnessed to or saved. He didn't just say, hey, let's go hang out down at the coffee shop, and I'm not going to witness to you. By the way, most of you aren't strong enough to deal with people like that. Okay? Well, you know, what about the big sinner party? Matthew set that up, and it was for a purpose. We just have, you know, the big thing, well, you know, what we need to do is we need to develop relationships with those who are unchurched. I think you should. You work with all of them. You work with them. That's a good time to develop a relationship. You shop and meet people. Doesn't mean you go hang out with them at some ungodly place. You know why we like that? Because we like to go to those places. Okay? You're not helping them by going somewhere that's very unhelpful for them. It's just not helping. They're going to drag you down. You're not going to drag them up. I think I mentioned this. I work with a bunch of guys at the warehouse, and they wanted to go bowling. There was five of us on the crew. So I thought, man, and I'd witnessed these guys. I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to be a friend of sinners. So I went bowling with them on a Saturday, and I'm like, this was stupid. So I thought, man, as soon as I got there, I said, man, what was I almost said drinking. What was I thinking? And so what I did is we had a church basketball league, and we would all play basketball at lunch right there on the warehouse floor. So I said, hey, you guys like to play basketball? Why don't I put together a team of my work guys, and we'll come to church and be on our basketball league? That way, we were reaching them there. And they came. And by the way, a couple of those guys got saved. One of the guys got saved, and he's leading. Last I heard, he had a Bible study back at my old workplace. But, you know, hanging with them was not where it was at. I didn't want to be reached. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scornful are those who make light of God's word and mock everything that is holy and right. There have always been people like that. Always. Now, primarily, most of us would not hang around with that person individually. But you'll listen to their garbage on television, in the movies, and in what they sing. Okay? Really? A guy that mocks God. I understand, and maybe it's a hobby horse, that stupid Noah movie. Oh, let's go, we go with these long Christians, we'll develop a dialogue. That's stupid. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say stupid. That is, that's not smart. Really? You just want to go see the movie. Don't tell me you want to start a dialogue with some unbeliever. It's talking about magic rocks and all kinds of nonsense, anti-God garbage. Come on. They scorn. Someone that, and it's just, they say something and we don't say anything, but if we say anything that goes against their lifestyle, we're intolerant. And because they call us intolerant, we listen to their garbage. Put it off to the side. Proverbs 19:27. I'll give you a verse. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease means stop. My son, let me interpret that for you. You, to hear, don't listen. I remember I had a college teacher, believe it or not. I can't believe I even did this, but he suggested we read a book. It was on a cell church. It was on cell groups by some author. And this author's doctrine was heresy. So he said, you know, he just, and he had question and answer time. And I'm not confrontational like this personally, but I'm like, I said, do you think we should read that book? He said, this guy's doctrine is wrong, and Proverbs says, cease my son to hear words that would cause thee to err. And I got him. He's like, I don't know, what do you think? And we listen to some scorner mock our God. I'm not going to listen to that. Okay? And, oh, but that's my favorite so-and-so. If he's mocking God, he shouldn't be your favorite anything. Amen. Not just, they're anti-God. All right, number 8. We're done in a minute. The prosperity promise is twofold. Here's the promise God made to us. Number 1, the choice, or this is A underneath there, but you don't have the paper, so it's irrelevant. The choice of success is yours. In other words, whether or not we are successful in these God-given areas of our life, that's up to us. God throws it out there. It's related to his word. If we choose not to be involved in the word of God, if we're not thinking about it, if we're not making it a part of our life, if we're not seeking to obey it, if we're not seeking to be a long-term follower, then we're choosing not to be successful in the areas of life that God wants us to be successful. It's our choice. If you look at your Christian life and you say, and we've all been there at some time, haven't we? Man, things just aren't going the way I want them to go. You ever been there? I wish I was closer to God. I just wish this area of my life was better. If we've all been there, when we get there, it's our fault. We've chosen to allow ourselves to get there. I know in my life it's always been true. It's me. So the choice of whether or not we are successful and also the areas in which you are successful are our choice. If we say, well, what is it? Being an employee. The Bible talks about how to be a good worker. If we follow those principles, we'll be successful in that area. If we don't follow those principles, we follow the principles of the world, you know, the union mentality, the criticize the boss mentality, to see how little I can do and how much I can get paid mentality. You know, if you work, it's not that hard to get noticed. You ever work somewhere and just, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to work hard, and other guys like, hey, slow down. How many of you ever heard that? You're making me look bad. Let me say this. I got hired at the paper warehouse many years ago. We first moved to it was a union warehouse. I got hired. They interviewed me 3 times. And my friend worked there, and he told them about me. I fell on vacation. They kept interviewing me. And, you know, they guess they wanted to make sure, because once you got in, they could not get rid of you. And now you won't believe this, but it's true. The 3rd interview, they had me go to the boss on the warehouse floor. We're sitting in his office, you know, and the guys are out working in the warehouse, and there's glass and all this. And he's like, you know, you want me to tell you why they haven't hired you yet and why they're still interviewing you? I'm like, yeah, I want to know. He goes, no, I wish he would say this today. He goes, you're just too thin. And it's heavy work. Man, I'd love to hear that again. I said, man, you're too thin. And then he pointed out at my buddy. He goes, well, you're John's friend, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know what? John's a good worker. He's not like the other guys. He comes in. He works hard every day. If you're his friend, I'll give you a chance. And we would work there. And we would do double the work the other guys did because they were union. We were just working hard because we were Christians. By the way, our boss liked us. Okay? If you follow God's principles in whatever area you follow them, that area can be successful. Let's pray.